This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is the Robert Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. But talking about the Rooney Rule, and I know it's not an easy conversation, and there's no real, you know, one takeaway one could have here. And that's why it's worth, I think, having a further discussion. Ideally, there shouldn't be a Rooney Rule, right? Like, the existence of a Rooney Rule in and of itself is an admission of an issue. If there were opportunities that were given at an equal rate or even a proportionate rate, then there wouldn't be a Rooney Rule. That's not to say that people who are getting the jobs that they're getting don't deserve them either. That's why I don't want to, you know, go too far in any one direction here. But it is interesting to me to see the lack of evolution in leadership at the leadership positions in the NFL, coaching, front office, while there has been an evolution at the leadership position on the field. Because there was a point in time where you could say the same thing about quarterbacks that you could say about coaches in the front office right now. And you can't say that as much about quarterbacks now, because quarterbacks look much more representative of the rest of the league. And I think a lot of the stigmas around black quarterbacks have been erased. Justin Simcho tweets in, "Congrats, you've contributed to keeping racism alive and kicking." R. Greer, CPA, says, "At Robin Lundberg makes unsubstantiated racist comments on his show. Bye, Felicia." I'm almost positive these are white guys saying that. And this is my problem. You're like, how can you be such a snowflake that you can't even have a conversation? I didn't say anything outrageous. I didn't say that, you know, there needs to be a quota met across the league, or that the people who are getting their jobs don't deserve them. Again, I'm a white guy in a job right now. I like to think I've earned my place in life. But I'm also open-minded and empathetic and intellectually curious. And if you think, you know, there wasn't a time where there was a stigma of negativity around black quarterbacks, especially when it comes to the mental aspect of the position, I think you're wrong. And if you don't find it at least curious that there's been such a lack of opportunity for minorities in leadership positions beyond the field, well, then I don't think you're consuming any sports media, because this is not, you know, a me thing. Everybody's noticed that. One black general manager, no owners, just a couple coaches now. Maybe three. And I always feel gross when I'm counting, too. Like, that just makes me feel gross, right? Like, okay, how many people can I find that look like this and count them up on my hand? That's not how I want to be, because I don't have to do that about that. I guess that's my point, right? You don't have to do that about quarterbacks anymore, right? Like, you don't go, how many black quarterbacks are there in the league, and you start counting. You're like, oh, you know, it feels representative. There are plenty of white quarterbacks still out there. I mean, I think the quarterback paradigm has changed. Josh Allen, Daniel Jones, guys like that, look at the way they move. Joe Burrow is about to come into the league. Look at the way he moves. But there hasn't been the same movement above the quarterback position. And I think when you're talking about the leadership position on the field, if there can be an evolution there, why can't there be an evolution beyond there? Just asking. Why hasn't it happened? What, you know, And what are your thoughts on the Rooney Rule? Because to me, in spirit, I understand the Rooney Rule, but it doesn't feel like something that's working at the moment. And it could be almost like, you know, people will tell you the NFL would be safer without helmets, you know, because when you remove a helmet, you're not going to come in the same way. You're not going to hit somebody the same way. You're going to protect yourself more. You know, maybe the opportunities would actually be more genuine if they weren't forced by the letter of the law. Where, oh, we have to check our box here. We're the Cowboys. We have to bring in Marvin Lewis, even though we know we're hiring Mike McCarthy. And I'm not, please, that was an example. I don't know what happened with the Cowboys job or how that worked behind the scenes. Just an example. Albert J. Ard tweets in, could size of minority coaching pool be smaller than white pool? Maybe not to the ratio of current head coach demographics, but still a smaller pool. Yes, I think it is, but that's all part of the same thing. Right? Like, yes. And I do think, you know, at the college level, you've seen a shift there, though. And at the assistant level, that's anecdotal, I don't know, but it does feel like a shift there, but not at the head coaching and the GM level, like there's been at quarterback. What do you think? 855-212-4227, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, brought to you by Geico. Great news, there's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Let's go to Mike in Erie, Pennsylvania. Mike, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Robert. Hey, you bring up a valid fact, and you present it in a fair sense.
Thank you.
You know, and I don't want you to forget about McNair, and I think you did mention McNabb, right?
I didn't, but, you know, that's part of the point, right? There was a time where you could specifically mention guys because you knew, like, right? It wasn't a thought you had to have in your head because there was only one or two. And now that isn't something that you have to think about because there are you know, I feel gross counting them up, but it's much more representative of their peers.
Right. It's more. It's definitely changing, you know, to that sense. And Cordell Stewart, who was a good quarterback in his own right, up to the point when he stopped utilizing his running ability for whatever reason. And I think it was his quarterback coach that kind of was swaying him from doing, you know, legwork out there.
Yeah, I mean, again, and there were stigmas like I used to hear all the time. And I used to bring that. Look, it works both ways, too. The white guy always has sneaky athleticism. You know, I used to hear Jordy Nelson was fast, right? Why was he really good? He was fast. It doesn't matter what skin color he was. He could run from point A to point B very fast. Christian McCaffrey is extremely athletic, right? Like, it just is what it is. So it works that way, too. The white guy's always gritty or sneaky athletic. But I did feel like black quarterbacks, I would always hear about the inability to go through progressions. And I don't think I would hear it about white quarterbacks. But that has...
It was a big issue back then, you know, but it's kind of like leveling out now. You know, it's becoming more acceptable. I guess it's a more of an evolutionary process.
Well, and that's my question. It was an evolution. And good, right? But why hasn't it happened beyond the quarterback? Because you would think there's a parallel, right? Don't you think of the quarterback as the extension of the coach on the field, right? Like, that's how we talk about them. And the I promise you, if there was a quarterback getting it done on pure raw ability, people would say, hey, this guy's not good enough at managing the game or the intangibles of the game. But you don't get those questions anymore. So if that box can be checked, I'm going to use a box-checking example because that's what I was using for the Rooney Rule. If that can be changed, if that notion can be changed over time, why hasn't the notion been changed, you know, in the front office? And it goes beyond the sideline because the head coach is middle management. But I understand ownership is a long, deep-seated thing that goes way beyond football. But general manager shouldn't be. And there's one black general manager. Adam in South Carolina. Adam, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's going on, man? I love the show.
Thank you.
Been a long-time listener. You know, you just kind of made some of the points that I wanted to make about checking the boxes and, you know, used Marvin Lewis as the example with the Cowboys. But, you know, I just really feel like the Rooney Rule is, you know, as you said, like, you know, it's a forced thing with checking the boxes. And another example that I see of it is Doug Peterson and Matt Nagy got gobbled up off of Andy Reid's staff. And, the fact that Eric Bieniemy hasn't gotten a chance yet, I think truly speaks to the issue, because, you know, everybody's been trying to recreate this Andy Reid, Pat Mahomes dynamic by getting his coordinators. So I can't see how Eric Bieniemy is not getting his chance. And, you know, full discretion, I am a Chiefs fan, and I was a little hesitant about, you know, Bieniemy taking over for those guys, not because of the color of his skin, but, you know, just because I didn't really know a lot about him. Well, I
sure.
think he's proven over the past two seasons that, you know, he's got, you know, what it takes to be an NFL head coach. And even listening to, you know, other analysts that have played for him, former players, you know, they mention that he is a, you know, I guess what they the stereotypical leader of men term that they use. But it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And I feel like maybe he's being, you know, slightly disrespected because they're using him, I guess, maybe to check the boxes because he's been listed for all these interviews, and I just can't see how he's not gotten the hire, you know?
To me, it's about the patterns, right? Because each situation should be treated individually. The most qualified, the best candidate should get the job. You know, if I was looking for a producer for this show, I'm not, Anthony does a great job, but if I was looking for a producer of the show, I would pick the person who I thought was going to do the best job. I'm not going to pick... You know, I would want to bring in a wide array of people to talk to, but I would pick the person who's going to do the best job, regardless, you know, who I trust. That's the most important thing, the product, for me here and for people running football teams. It's just puzzling, is the word, I guess, that this pattern would emerge, again, that runs contrary to the evolution of the quarterback. Because you would think if the quarterback would evolve, at least this is to me, what I think, if the quarterback would evolve, then therefore that would actually help the evolvement above the quarterback position. But what do I know? Kenny in Dallas. Kenny, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, my thought process is, and this is coming from a 42-year-old black man.
Yeah.
There's only two owners in the league that have any kind of color at all, and they aren't black. As long as you have all these white owners, you're not going to have a bunch of black people in leadership. It's like asking for a bunch of leadership in North Dakota amongst black people. We ain't there.
I agree with that, Kenny. I agree with that. And especially when it comes to being representative, like I said, you know, it has to happen at the leadership spots. But there, you know, the Rooney Rule, you would say, is a concerted effort. It's like we acknowledge there's an issue here. We have an issue, but that hasn't been effective. So I guess my question is, Kenny, you know, why has the pattern gone the other way? It almost seems like it's gone in the reverse direction. And why wouldn't it, you know, align with changing stigmas at leadership positions on the field? Because some of the same reasons could be used. Before about quarterbacks, but you don't hear that anymore. Like, why could that evolvement happen and not, you know, at the coaching spots in the front office? Because ownership is a tough hill to, you know, a tough thing to tackle. Well, eventually, I think you'll see a change there. I mean, it was brought up that Jay-Z might get minority ownership in a team earlier this year. But yeah, I fundamentally I agree with your position.
Well, but and I think this too. I'm a band director in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex.
Yeah.
We have what's called, it's somewhat like the Rooney Rule when you have to interview for jobs as a band director. Do you realize that in the Dallas Metroplex, which is the fourth largest Metroplex in the country, you can't name five head black band directors because for some reason they think that we can't live up to whatever standard that was created by the majority, which is not us. So, yeah, they'll call us in for the interview, but chances are we're not getting the job.
You know,
just the way it's been.
I understand. There's another thing that I think, you know, I always hesitate to bring this sort of thing up, but when you look at the leadership positions at the top of the country right now, I wonder if that has even a unconscious effect on these things as well, because I'm not calling specific NFL franchises racist or anything like that. I just do find it curious. And it's a complex conversation that requires nuance. You know, as I said before, I don't want worthy white guys not to get jobs. That's ridiculous too. You know, but it's I don't know. In the last few years, it doesn't feel like, it felt like there might have been some progress there and it doesn't feel like it right now. And it runs counter to the turnover we've seen at the most important position on the field. If I had the answer, I'd tell it to you. I don't have the answer, and I don't think the NFL does either. Maybe Austin Gale can give us some answers when it comes to what's going to happen on the field this weekend. Pro Football Focus's senior analyst joins the Robin Lundberg Show coming up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
I'll continue the conversation we were having before with you guys at 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. But first, going to get back into this weekend's games with Austin Gale, Pro Football Focus senior analyst. And Austin, I want to ask you the question I asked the audience at the beginning of the show, actually, and not just specifically to this weekend, but overall, you know, you guys obviously do a lot of data analysis, not to mention, obviously, you know, play grading and all the factors that come into what Pro Football Focus does. Overall, who would you take, Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson?
Right now, I'm taking Russell Wilson. He's playing like the best quarterback in football right now. He's second in PFF grade behind Ryan Tannehill. He's been the best player on that Seattle Seahawks roster, and it's not even close. He's propping up a very bad roster. They don't have a good defense. They don't have a great running game. The offensive line isn't good. The reason they're winning is Russell Wilson. He's lifting that team to new heights.
You know, you mentioned Ryan Tannehill, and it just catches me off guard. I understand how good he has been, but would you ever imagine that you would have uttered the words, our highest graded quarterback is Ryan Tannehill, before?
Never in a million years. It's been wild, but I mean, that shows the unbiased in our grading, I'll say that, because he was our lowest graded quarterback not only like a few years ago. I mean, it shows what a good offense can do for you. It shows how, you know, if you go somewhere that can support you, a good offensive line, a great receiver in A.J. Brown, you can actually put things together. He's averaging over 13 yards per dropback on play-action passes. That is insane. This guy is thriving in that Titans offense.
You know, it's interesting because just a year ago, just a week ago, I was doubting the Titans against the Patriots. Like, it felt... Not that they hadn't played well to close the season. It just felt to me like so many people were picking the Titans, and there was no way that was going to be the game New England was going to go out on at home against a 9-7 squad. But clearly a good performance from them. They win. They perhaps ended the Patriots dynasty. We'll see what happens with New England going forward. How big a step up in weight class is this against Baltimore? And how much do you think what they did last week is going to be sustainable against Lamar Jackson and company?
Oh, it's a massive step up. I mean, the New England Patriots only scored 14 points. This Baltimore Ravens team could do a lot better than that. They're going to be a team that scores, you know, 30-plus all throughout the playoffs. And it's very different in that the Patriots wanted to let Derrick Henry run the football. They kept a light box for a reason because they knew that would slow the game down. Now, people forget that the Titans, in that monster Derrick Henry game, only scored 14 points on the opposite side of the ball. They had a pick six that pushed them to 20. They wanted that game. The Patriots wanted Derrick Henry to run the football as well as he did. They didn't score a ton. Throwing the football puts points on the board. It's going to be different in Baltimore. I don't think they have the same defense to stop the Titans through the air like the New England Patriots do. I think this game could be a shootout. And you know, maybe Lamar Jackson wins this one because he's the better player and the better offense. But Ryan Tannehill is capable of being in a shootout these days.
Let's look at the first game. The Vikings surprised a lot of people, myself included, with what they did a week ago. I mean, I think if you were to survey people unbiased on paper and they said what was the no-brainer pick of the week last week, they probably would have gone with New Orleans, and obviously that wasn't the case. I still, with that said, like San Francisco at home with the bye week, of course. What Minnesota did to the Saints, do you consider that more of a one-week blip, or do you think that's something that can go to San Francisco?
I don't think it is one-week blip there, because I think Minnesota has a very good offense. I think we went in that game, New Orleans in the dome. They've been so good all year long, Drew Brees, Michael Thomas, and forgot that the Vikings have a good offense too. Kirk Cousins, since week three, is the second highest graded quarterback according to PFF grades. This guy's having a career year, thriving on play action, thriving from a clean pocket. The only thing that's really hurt him this year is play under pressure. If the Vikings offensive line can just hold up, he can play very well for them. I think he can do enough to put points on the board against good offenses. And that defense got creative against New Orleans, limited that very powerful offense to very few points. I think they could do the same thing against San Francisco, which I don't think even has the same level offense to roll with that.
Now, let's get to the one game we haven't touched thus far, probably the most exciting quarter. Well, no, we did talk about Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. That's a pretty good one. But Sunday's the quarterback matchups, I guess. Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs hosting the Texans. That Bills-Texans game was very amusing and entertaining. But the Chiefs sort of got forgotten about midway through the year because Mahomes was out with an injury. And they save their season in the sense of the bye week towards the end. But coming into the year, they were the favorites. Do you still look at them like that kind of team? Do you look at Kansas City as a prohibitive favorite against the Texans?
100%. I'm glad you said that. I feel like the Kansas City Chiefs are somehow a sleeping giant. They were forgotten for some reason because Patrick Mahomes, quote-unquote, took a step back. Yeah, he didn't throw 50 touchdowns again, but he's still one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And that defense, that Kansas City Chiefs defense, is actually very good now. Tyrann Mathieu and Juan Thornhill have really brought that defense up. It's a shame Juan Thornhill won't play in this game due to injury, but still with Mathieu there, quarterback's playing better, the pass rush is much more legit. This Chiefs defense can actually limit people, while on the other side of the ball, Patrick Mahomes and company are still a very good offense.
So when you're looking forward to the conference championship games, who do you think is playing?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think the Chiefs do go. I think the Chiefs do go in the AFC, and I think Baltimore wins against Tennessee. I know I like root for an underdog. I don't know if Tennessee pulls it off. I see Chiefs.
No, wait, hey, I'll tell you, you can stop rooting for the underdog, but give me Lamar Jackson versus Patrick Mahomes.
that's totally fair. And on the NFC, I think we see an upset in Green Bay. I think Seattle takes that one. And the other side there, I do think San Francisco pulls it out at home.
So we have the exact same picks. If my my gambling doesn't work out for me this weekend, I'm going to have to give you a call back.
Sounds good, man.
Austin Gale, Pro Football Focus Senior Analyst. Appreciate your time, man.
Of course, man. Thank you.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. Going to get to you guys now. Obviously, we got big NFL day, but I know a lot of you wanted to weigh in on my thoughts on the Rooney Rule earlier in the show. Let's go to Jake in Arkansas. Jake, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Jake?
Hey, not too much. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
All right. Hey, why don't I could see them doing some kind of a blind process in the beginning, where maybe the NFL commissions something and basically, you know, they put forth a set of questions or however it is. They present that to the coach, and, you know, they pick, and then it would completely take race out of it, you know, because you might have three black head coaches that show up. You might have three white ones that show up, you know. But you were saying earlier, I feel like it's already – they've already chosen who they have, and they're just going through the motions.
Yeah.
And this might be a little more accountability. And they didn't have to explain it to us. But they would have to explain the NFL.
You know, the problem, I think the real issue, Jake, is like the Rooney Rule in and of itself, like I said before, right, is sort of an admission that there's an issue.
Yes.
There shouldn't be a need for a Rooney Rule, right? Because then it just becomes this obligation. We should hopefully, like I said before, it's strange to me that it runs contrary to the quarterback position because there's no talk of a Rooney Rule when it comes to the quarterback, right? The guy who's best is getting that job, and now there are way fewer stereotypes about certain people in that job. And it's just curious to me how the list of the candidates, the pool of the candidates, seems to be going in the opposite direction, both with coaches and the front office. And I, you know, when people are mandated to do something, they will go through it like it's you know, process rather than their actual process that they want. So I don't know the answer to it, and I understand you're coming to it from a good position here, but it is just curious to me that it's kind of been the antithesis of the involvement on the field.
No, most definitely. And that's what I'm saying. I just, you know, just to completely take it out. I mean, if you like somebody on paper, you know, you can figure out their body of work. But, you know, like I said, everything's done behind doors. A lot of these decisions are made and, you know, without anybody knowing, basically. And like you said, just going through motions of things. But, yeah, it wouldn't be a necessity. And it would be basically, you know, they like their answers. They like this about it. Without the body of work, of course, at first, because that would give it away. But like I said, I don't know, some kind of blind process in the beginning that, you know, again, that they have to go through to explain to the commission what they're looking for, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, again, like you would hope, like I said before, I wonder if, you know, the argument of you don't wear helmets, it's safer because people aren't going to come in with their head that way. I wonder if the, you know, the rule has run its course in a sense of removing it may actually help. I don't know. I really don't know the answer to it. And I think a lot of people are searching. And again, I think people do go too far in the other direction too, because there are worthy candidates from other backgrounds. You should make the best hire for the team, but it's curious that there are so few right now with all the opportunities that were available, that there were so few minority head coaches that were even given real consideration, it seems, and that there's so few beyond the coaching positions in front offices. Grace in Richmond, Virginia. Grace, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I want to say that I want to commend you for being able to give your opinion, and you sound like you are being honest. Since 1940, I've had family members playing football, and I'm over 80. I never thought I would live to see as many quarterbacks as I see on playing in the NFL today. I want to commend you. I'm going to commend the station for allowing you to do what you do, and I think that as more people see and hear what is happening, they will lose some of the fear that we had during slavery and still have of everybody having a fair chance.
You know, Grace, I appreciate that. And I think, you know, the only way to deal with uncomfortable issues is to talk about them and try to get to the root of them, right? I mean, like, what else are we going to do? Or what else am I going to do in my position, right? And you know, I can't be too worried about – I just want to be honest and empathetic to everybody and try to, you know, not worry about being a little uncomfortable.
People know when you're being honest, and people know when you're being truthful. And I have had to come to where I am as a professional. So I know it is not easy, but I think that as people, our society is making it more difficult, and we are going to have to try harder to overcome the fear that we might lose something for getting what is best for us.
You know, and Grace, also to that point, when I said before, I sort of said it in passing, but, you know, a real, I think, uncomfortable conversation for a lot of people is I do wonder if leadership at the top of the country right now has had, even if it wasn't a direct, a subconscious influence on the way these things have trended a little bit.
Oh, definitely. In a way, we are saying it's okay. It's not really real bad. So go on the way at thinking the way you are thinking now.
Yeah.
But we've got to change.
Well, I appreciate
thank
the call.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Grace. You know, and I mean, it's a good thing that the quarterback position has evolved. But I hope people get my parallel there and the point I'm trying to make, which is that that was something that took a long time. And that was something that people were, I think, legitimately, if they weren't racist about, they were stereotypical about. And I think almost, you know, like there's remnants, but that's been almost completely erased. And you would think that would be a natural progression up the chain because let's be honest, how do we think about it? Owner, GM, coach, quarterback, right? Like that's sort of the way we move down. Now, there are other positions that sometimes wind up in leadership roles, like you know, maybe a safety or a middle linebacker, you know, an offensive lineman that people really trust. But we tend to focus on the quarterback. And we certainly tend to focus on the mental aspect of that position more than any other position. And therefore, one would think logically that the evolution there would dovetail with evolutions up the chain. And it's been the opposite. Sean in San Diego. Sean, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing, buddy? How's it going today?
Good. How are you?
Real good, thank you. Okay, so I'm going to start with this. First off, I want to ask you a question and make 2 points. Did you say about, I don't know, an hour ago that there would not be or there hasn't been a white player that was converted from like a quarterback to a wide receiver?
I didn't say there hasn't been. I said I don't think there would be. I specifically talked about Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. And I said,
I know you did. I was just, no biggie on that. The only thing I was going to say is that Julian Edelman was a 3-year starter at Kent State converted to wide receiver. So anyways, that's not a big deal, but so it does happen. But just go to my second point. I grew up in Los Angeles in the 1970s, early 1970s. We had a quarterback come over to our team from Buffalo Bills by the name of James Harris. He was the first black quarterback to start in the NFL. And let me tell you, he was good. I'm a white guy, by the way, too. So I just want to say that. But he was really
I gathered.
he led the Rams to two NFC titles, and he did really good for the Rams. And guess what? This is in the early 70s. Now, I do note that in his resume, it does show that he did have experience with the within the front office or within the upper management, like with two teams. I see that he was with Jacksonville and also with Detroit. And this is like in the early, I think, 2000s and then middle 2000s. But the thing is, that's kind of interesting because I agree with what you're saying. It's really not indicative of how it should be, you know, and just seeing where we've come from and where we're at now. But it's representative of corporate America. It's just that it's more transparent because we know all the owners and we know all the managers. We know everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Unlike corporate America.
And if I'm keeping it 100% real, there are places I work, right, where the makeups are very similar to that. But the difference being, I guess, is the obvious difference being the employees, the workers themselves, the players are of a certain background to an overwhelming degree. And the people who are managing them disproportionately are not. And that's changed at quarterback, but it hasn't changed above them. Let's go to Steve in Baltimore. Steve, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
You got
it. I'm glad that you're touching this subject here. One, what you're talking about, and the callers are also making a good point. But where you're losing it is that the fact that you have to look at these sponsors who are sponsoring and also who's giving the money to the NFL, and that's with any sport. Are they comfortable with a black head coach coming into, let's say, some kind of fundraiser and stuff like that? I don't think so, but that's where the problem lies in that. They're looking at the economic stands of it and more than anything else. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's layers, right? Like, this is not – if this was, like, an easy fix, if it was this, then we would all be saying it. And there's a lot of people saying stuff about it that really aren't doing anything about it, can't do anything about it. My only goal, because I know it ain't changing because of this show. Let's be clear. My only goal is that we have a nice, hopefully intellectually stimulating, productive conversation about it. That's my goal. Period. Dave in West Baltimore. Dave, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Dave?
Robin, my man.
What's up,
you
dude?
You know, I have to applaud you and your station for allowing you to be intellectually curious and to bring your ideas to the arena of ideas to have this discussion. Now, what you will give cover for others to have this same conversation, and especially the players. I put a lot of this at the foot of the participants, the players themselves. Because they are not advocating for representation on their behalf, for such as the NBA players. Now, granted, the NBA players don't have the kind of ownership, but they are in the managerial and upper-level management.
Yeah.
That's due directly to the players.
It's a player-driven league there, Dave, and I also think there's some differences, right? Like, obviously the makeup of the NFL is still predominantly African-American, of course, but in the NBA, I think the fan base is different. Think of the NFL, you're thinking blue states, but you're thinking red states, too. You're thinking flyover states. You know, it's a big base that's a lot different, and I think the NBA's base is different, and that can help play into that as well. But that's certainly, you know, an interesting conversation too, because those two leagues don't look that dissimilar. Though, you know, if we're being truthful, most of the white guys in the NBA are from overseas nowadays versus the guys in the NFL. But the approach of the league is different, and part of that's due to the ownership. Part of that's due, I think, to the fan base, and yeah, of course, part of it's due to the sponsors. Conrad in Milwaukee. Conrad, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Robin, love the show, man.
Thank you.
So here's the deal. I don't think there's enough opportunity for like just on ramps and just different talent pools for these black coaches to be put in the right position to get the interview. I don't think the right guys are getting interviews. I think they just have become stagnant. I think there could be a better approach to that. I think the Rooney Rule is broken until otherwise. I think if there was actually something out there where there was just more effort put into, you know, getting, you know, there's a ton of good black leaders, a great black leaders all across the United States, not necessarily in football. So it's all over the place. There's no reason this shouldn't happen. There just needs to be more effort into saying, hey, here's a coaching, I mean, and do it on purpose.
Conrad, it should be, you should be aware of it, right? You want to be self-aware. And that's where I'll give them credit for the Rooney Rule when it happened. At least it was an admission of self-awareness, though I think it's run its course. I think you want to be self-aware. You can't force these things, right? Like, or else it's not going to work. It needs to be a natural evolution. And that's why I keep bringing up quarterbacks, because it just doesn't make sense to me that we would watch that natural evolution there happen over the years and the proven track record we've seen and not see the same thing, you know, at the positions that you would think the quarterback would parallel when it comes to leadership away from the field. But I don't have all the answers on it, of course.
Yeah, you know, it's one of them topics that, like, I don't think time goes on, and we've obviously seen a change, and you brought it up at the quarterback position. It's light and day difference as to what it used to be. And so now it's just a matter as culture and as it continues. That's one thing I love about our country. We're going to figure it out because we do that. We don't just sit in our own muck forever. Things change, and technology changes, social media changes. And we're in a position now where, you know, I think we're having a different conversation in 10 years.
I hope so. I can't say I have as much confidence, again, referencing the highest levels of this country at the moment. But I would say I'm thankful I can talk about it freely. And we can talk about it freely. And we've had a nice pool of listeners and interaction on the conversation, which can only help elevate the discourse. So that was the goal. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope we got somewhere, at least as far as stimulating ourselves in the conversation. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.